I've wrestled about what to do this morning. As you know, I preach constantly. It's my desire not to just take a sugar stick type sermon and preach it everywhere I go. I think that is lazy. I think that is not following the Spirit. And so I've battled somewhat about what to do this morning. It isn't that you don't have preaching. And all the people said amen. I can't even get them to say amen for you. At any rate, it's not that I don't have plenty to preach. I've got a Bible, 66 books, and a Christ who is the glory of God. However, I have settled on one of God's attributes this morning. I'd like to preach for a few minutes on the goodness of God. I want you to turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 34. We'll read a few verses from chapter 33 and then zero in on the text in chapter 34. Exodus chapter 33, Moses is praying, and he says in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. So what a humble prayer. Don't make me be the glory of thy people, but show me thy glory. And the Lord said, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and there shalt thou stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. This is Moses' prayer and God's response. Instead of saying, I'll show you my glory, he says, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. When we come into chapter 34, verse 5 explains the happening. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. I'll leave off reading there. I mentioned my middle daughter moving back home. When she was little, she was an animal lover. She still is an animal lover. Her father is not an animal lover. I got it from my dad. He was not an animal lover. But Angela was so sincere, she said to me on one occasion, Dad, stop, you're about to step on one of God's little creatures. It was an ant, for heaven's sake. But she loved animals of every sort and bugs of every sort. And so she showed mercy to all the animals. We had a bird fly into our storm door. And that bird was unconscious. I thought it was dead. I said, I might as well take it and throw it down in the woods. It's dead. Oh, no, Dad, I think I saw some movement. And so we waited, and sure enough, the bird was not dead. So we had an old cage in the under the house, the basement area, and We put that little bird in the cage and she petted it and fed it and watered it and took care of it. And before long, the bird was flying through the house. Well, Dad got tired of that in a hurry. And so we made sure it was in the cage. And then she came and showed me her new trick. She has always had a heavy set of hair. And she would put that bird in her hair and walk through the house, and the bird would not fly. The bird felt her goodness. He felt her care, I'm sure. May I say this is true in life? Just as Angela was good to that bird, God has been good to you and me. I'm here this morning not because of my goodness to God, but because of God's goodness to me. As one verse reads in Psalm 119, "Thou art good and doest good." He's good all the way through. And He's good to all of us. And so with His help for a few moments this morning, I want to magnify His goodness as He will help me. Now, I want to say several things from verse number 5 and 6 of chapter 34. I want to begin with that phrase in verse 5. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." The Lord is keeping his word. He told him, "You'll not be able to see my face. You'll just see my back parts. But my glory will pass by and you'll see all my goodness." And so as he descends, as he stands with Moses, which is grace, we might add, when God shows himself to us, works in our lives, he comes where we are. That is his amazing grace, isn't it? But I want to underline the fact that he came and mention firstly this morning the visitation of God's goodness. The visitation of God's goodness. Now, this is not just anybody coming by. This is the Lord God. You'll notice back in verse 1 of chapter 34, "And the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the Old Testament name that would be translated Jehovah, Yahweh. "And the Lord said unto Moses," and again verse 5, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Verse 6, "And the Lord passed by and proclaimed the Lord God." We have a visitation of God's goodness, and we're confronted with the self-existent one. The name Jehovah carries with it the implication of existing in and of himself. Now, you take angels do not exist in and of themselves. They're created beings. And you and I do not exist in and of ourselves. Man is created being. We exist because God sustains us. I heard a great man say, "I know when I'm going to die," and he gave the year, and he died 3 years short of that. We all cannot dictate to God because we depend upon him, but he depends upon no one. He's God, and besides him, there is none else. And so we're confronted, first of all, with the visitation of God's goodness, a visit by the self-existent one. The fact is, he does not need us. He does not need anything, anybody, anywhere. He's the self-existent one. But we need him. And he's so good to come where we are and visit us. The visitation of God's goodness. Every now and then, I sense afresh the goodness of God. Do you? Do you feel like he draws near? It happens sometimes in a meeting. Like if I go several nights, like this coming week, I'll be preaching each night, Monday through Friday. There have been a few meetings along the way where we had more than Tom's preaching. We had the visitation of God's goodness. And God moved upon us and worked in us, the self-existent one, helping those who cannot exist on their own. And then the name God is also used here. Look at verse 6. The Lord God. And here we have the Creator name for God. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. He is not only the self-existent one, Jehovah. He needs nothing. He needs no one. Again, he needs nowhere. He sits upon the circle of the earth. He reigns on his throne. He's the self-existent one, but also his name is God. The Hebrew word is El, E-L. You may remember there are several people's names in the Bible that end with E-L. Daniel, and what about those that start with it? Elijah. It always refers to God's might. He's the mighty God, the Creator. Everything did not just happen, but the mighty God displayed his power in creation. And the God who visits us in his goodness is not only the self-existent one, but the self-empowered one, the God of might. You take people in our society, there are people who feel that they are mighty. You've met some of them. You may work with a couple of them. They think they're mighty. And then there are folks who rule as though they're mighty. The thing that frightens us is those who try to rule in might, their own might, is they don't have power over their might. They don't have might over their might. They don't have strength over their strength. And so they may do something that is damaging instead of helping and inspiring. But God has might over his might. God has power over his power. God has strength over his strength. And of course, in Christ, he manifests his strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And this is God visiting us as the self-existent one, as the self-empowering one. The visitation of God's goodness. Now, before I hasten on, let me say I'm interested. I pray along for a visitation of God's goodness in our churches. Somebody say, yeah, but there's good people here. Oh, I don't deny that. I don't doubt that. I've met some of you, and some of you are good. I don't know about the other group, but some of you are good people. I'm cutting up. Do I have to give a sign every time? At any rate, I long for the visitation of God's goodness. Not just beautiful singing, beautiful music, and an organized sermon, but a visitation of God in his goodness. Goodness. It's not goodness me, it's goodness God. goodness, God. You'll notice not only did he stand with Moses, he descended in the cloud and stood with him there, the visitation of God's goodness, but he proclaimed the name of the Lord. I'm going to refer to this as the voice of God's goodness. Now, it's possible. I talk too much. I cut up too much. I know I got it from my uncles. I did not get it from my dad's side of the family. My dad was stoic, and all his relatives were stoic. But my mother's family laughed at everything. In fact, I think they told lies and then laughed about it so they could laugh. And so anytime I could hang around them, I wanted to be around them. They laughed and laughed and laughed. They laughed at one another. They laughed at themselves. It was a good attribute in my mother's family. But God cannot visit us without speaking. It's possible, though I talk a lot, it's possible that I shake your hand and say, God bless you, and I don't say anything else. It's possible that I can be quiet when meeting someone. And I have met a few, I wish they could be quiet when meeting someone. However, God visits in goodness and he speaks in goodness to our hearts. Now, my job is not to move people. My job is to preach the truth of God's word and trust the Holy Ghost to move people. And may I say, only God speaking to us can move us. My voice is raspy from all these years of preaching. But God does not speak in a rasping voice. He has spoken through the centuries and he still speaks with clarity. His voice came as he passed by. I heard an old preacher who's now with the Lord sing this. I may get the words twisted a little, but I can at least emphasize this truth. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. He speaks to us as he passes by. And the word is used, he not only spoke, but he proclaimed. He knows how to preach effectively. He proclaimed the name of the Lord as Moses stood there with the Lord near him on the mountain. The voice of God's goodness comes as he passes by. And it comes with a proclamation. And you know what's so wonderful about God speaking to us? Is I may be preaching on some other subject, but right in the middle of the sermon, God arouses something in your heart that may not even have anything to do with the sermon. But he speaks. He proclaims his truth to our hearts. Oh, brother, how silly it would be for me to have all the opportunities I have week after week after week and think that I can proclaim something effective. Somebody said, oh, that person's a very effective speaker. Are you talking in human terms or are you talking in spiritual terms? In spiritual terms, we are not effective. We are empty vessels and need the filling of God to speak to people. I say we have the visitation of the goodness of God set forth in God coming to where Moses was. And then we have the voice of God's goodness as he passes by and as he proclaims his name. Then you'll come on down with me in verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. And notice we have several virtues here. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Let's look at those three for a moment. We've noticed the visitation of God's goodness and the voice of God's goodness. Notice thirdly, the virtues of God's goodness. Now, every attribute of God, every trait, every characteristic will stand on its own two feet, we might say. If the Bible says God is love, that attribute is very strong and it can stand alone without any other attribute. However, and I could mention many more of them, yet, often when God shows one manifestation of himself, there are other virtues that are included. Here's a little truth that I learned when I was teaching. I taught 20 attributes of God, both in a college and in a Bible institute. And then we had some seminary students that joined us. At any rate, when I was teaching those attributes, I came first to God's eternity. He always has been, he is, he always will be. The eternity of God. And then I came to another attribute which I thought was similar, the immutability or the unchangeableness of God. Because he's eternal, he's also unchanging. Now, you and I have changed over the years. I have slowed down in my delivery, not purposefully, it just happens. How is it the fellow said? Squire wrote the song, I believe. I'm not the man I used to be. And I realize that. However, God is eternal and God is immutable. That is, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then there's a third attribute of God that's similar, the faithfulness of God. Because he is eternal, he is immutable, and because he is immutable and never changes, he is faithful. He could never be unfaithful. And here we have several attributes that are tied to God's goodness. He said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And then we have these virtues. First of all, merciful and gracious. I'm going to put those two together because often in the Bible, the mercy of God and the grace of God are spoken of at the same time. You remember Paul's greetings to all the churches was grace and peace. Then in the pastoral epistles, it was grace, mercy, and peace. And so mercy comes up when it has to do with God's forward movement. I would call these two virtues. He's not only merciful, but we're told that he's gracious. the Lord God, merciful and gracious. They're inseparable. But they're forward. They come first. I mean by that, to experience God, there must be a foundation of mercy where he is compassionate towards us. And that is so true. And then side by side, grace comes along and works in us on the foundation of goodness and mercy. I say these are the forward virtues of God's goodness. He's merciful and gracious. And then I would add, there's the forbearing attribute or virtue of God's goodness. He is long suffering. Or we could use the word forbearing or patient. Mercy and grace are His followed attributes. If He deals with us, He'll deal with us out of goodness, mercy, and grace. And then there's long suffering. If He keeps dealing with us in our stubbornness and our disobedience, He is long suffering with us. I'm grateful for His long suffering with a sinner like me. I was brought up in a God-fearing home, and I was raised in a gospel preaching church. And I might go further and say an anointed gospel preaching church. You know, there is a difference. When the Holy Ghost seasons the message and works in our hearts. And yet I ran like a fool away from those caresses of God's goodness. And He was merciful and gracious, forward in dealing with me. I couldn't go to church without feeling uncomfortable. And long-suffering with me. I'm thinking of one particular night when I'd been out with the wrong crowd. And I had left. I stayed with my grandmother at night. She was one of the greatest souls that I ever knew. And I didn't have enough sense to recognize it back then. But I unlocked my window in my bedroom so she wouldn't hear me come in. I could come in through the window because I knew it was going to be late, the crowd I was with. And sure enough, I came in, opened the window, crawled through the windows, pulled the window back down quietly, if you can do that in an old house, and got in the bed. You know what met me when I got in the bed? The long suffering of God. The fear of God came over my heart, and I thought, what if I died out there tonight? And so I got out of the bed and got down on my knees on that cold linoleum rug. And I cried out, Lord, I didn't repent. I didn't get right with God. But I pleaded with the Lord, please, Lord, don't let me die tonight in the shape I'm in. God was long-suffering to me in those days, running from Him. With my fist clenched, my heart cold. But He kept dealing with me. His forbearing virtue. Long suffering. Patient. I wonder if anybody feels such a work of God in you this morning. He's long suffering to you. You've been hesitant to respond. You've been cold. And somewhat not needful of His mercy, but yes, we're all in need of these virtues. There's the visitation of God's goodness. There's the voice of God's goodness. There are the virtues of God's goodness, mercy, grace, and long-suffering. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you again, I'm here today because of the goodness, the mercy, and the long-suffering of God. And you are here for the same reasons. God has been good to us. Now, you'll notice in that sixth verse, having looked at verse 5 and verse 6, we come to the last few words, abundant in goodness. Abundant in goodness. Not only is God good, God is unbelievably good. Abundant in goodness. First of all, the fact that He says, and after He said, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, He said, and that indicates there's more to come. So I would mention firstly, this is the volume, the measure of God's goodness. And it's an additional volume. And abundant in goodness. And goodness. Oh, brother. How God adds more goodness our way. more mercy and grace and long-suffering our way. The volume of God's goodness is additional. And you remember in creation, almost every verse in those early chapters, and God created, and God made, and God said, and. The additional works of God. Here it's His additional goodness and the volume of it. Notice the word abundant. Abundant. You remember Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly. I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be an abundant life Christian. How about you? Oh, here, there is abundance in goodness. Abundance. Abundance. You remember that verse where Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Then he said, press down. And in the end, he said, and running over. Several comments about giving. And running over. Press down and running over. That's right. If I give with the right attitude, if I give for His glory, not to just get a tax credit, but to glorify God, to give us unto the Lord, then there will be much given in return. And some of us here this morning have received of His abundance. Received of His abundance. There's not only the additional volume, there's the abundant volume. He giveth more grace, and He giveth more goodness, and He giveth more mercy. The volume of God's goodness. I think we could all say we're overwhelmed, overtaken by God's abundant goodness. Before I conclude this morning, there's one other word I'd like to underline. You understand I'm wrapping these entire statements around the word goodness. And I must say this about an old friend of mine. My pastor and I discussed him this week. Brother Dean Owens, he was quite a character. And oh, what a worshiper. You didn't go to his church and not worship. Unless your worshiper was broke. He was out to worship God. And he would get up and look at the congregation. This was every night now. I was always with him Sunday through Friday. I believe we counted 17 years in a row before he got sick. And then passed away. But every service, he'd get up and look at the congregation. He had giant hands. He would wrap them around each other. And then he would look out at the congregation and he would say, ah, children, the goodness of God. The goodness of God. He was living in it. And he would share it, an abundance of it. Notice lastly, and truth. Do you mind me reading all the verses, the two verses again? And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, the visitation of God's goodness, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, the voice of God's goodness. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, the virtues of God's goodness. And abundant in goodness, the volume of God's goodness and truth. Now, God never does anything apart from truth, does He? He speaks truth. He gives us truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God gives truth. And His goodness is truth. I've talked to you about the attribute, the truth of God's goodness. I would underline lastly, because of the word truth, we're confronted with the validity, the validity of God's goodness. Goodness comes, and it comes with truth, accompanying truth, truth accompanying it. When God shows his goodness to us and works with us in goodness, he speaks truth. He's not playing with us. No, he means business. He's the God of truth, and he deals with us in this valid manner. Not only is truth in accompaniment of goodness, but goodness is in accord with truth. God speaks truth, but he speaks truth on the basis of his goodness. Goodness is revealed in truth. Now, I've sought for a way to conclude these thoughts this morning. I think I'm going to use a New Testament illustration to conclude my emphasis on the goodness of God. You remember the prodigal, as we call him? He wanted his inheritance immediately. And his father gave it to him. And we never read of him giving thanks and appreciation. He went to the far country. He left home. He packed his duds and left. And when he got to the far country, he could not get a job. I have a friend who told me of his aunt. His aunt had worked all kinds of jobs. She couldn't get settled anywhere on a job. She would work here a few months, then she would try over here, and she'd work here a few months. Well, she got the best job she'd ever had. And when they had the family get together, somebody asked her, "How do you like your new job?" Here was her attitude. "Well, it's a job." I want to tell you, the prodigal didn't get the job he wanted. It was just a job. Feeding the hogs. Oh boy, what an elevated position. Feeding the hogs. And nobody gave to him. Nobody tried to help him. That's the way it is in the far country. He spent everything he had. Listen, you spend everything you have and everybody's gone. It's like a dear man in our home area. He was an alcoholic, a drunkard. And all of his friends knew he got his check, Social Security check, on a certain day. They hadn't been there all month, but here they came driving up. They knew he was going to buy the liquor and they was going to drink it with him. There was no job. Just borrowing from his pouch. I say the prodigal had nothing. And the scripture tells us that he came to the end of himself. Oh boy, how blessed it is when God brings us to the end of ourselves. We throw up our hands and say, "I submit, Lord, I give myself to you now. I'm sorry, I repent." You know, some people think if they say "I'm sorry" that is repentance. Repentance is not just saying "I'm sorry." Repentance is saying, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm so low down. I'm no good." Being honest with God is repentance. Anyhow, as he looked at his situation, he said, "Well, my daddy's slaves have more to eat than I have. I have nothing." And then as he thought it over, he said, "I will arise and go to my father." What was it, I ask? What was it that won his heart? He thought of his father's goodness to those slaves. And he said, "I'm going home to my father." May I say, beloved, if you're sick of the world, if you're sick of your ways, oh, that you might look to God in his goodness and say with the prodigal, I'm going to arise and go home to my father. Can I say it one more time? Ah, children, the goodness of God, the goodness of God. You're standing with me, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's bow our heads while these are coming to the instruments and to lead us. I wonder if there might be some heart this morning who would say, Tom, this was for me today. I needed to be reminded of how good God has been and is being to me. And you'd like to just ask for prayer. Nobody's going to come and drag you forward. We're just asking if you're concerned enough to ask for prayer. Would there be someone here today? Tom, I know I'm here because of God's goodness. I'd like to be remembered in prayer. While we wait a moment, would there be one? I felt a time or two like I was walking around in somebody's heart. I saw one hand go up. Would there be someone else? While we wait, God bless you. How about another? Tom, you don't know, but God has been good to me. I'm here because of His long-suffering, His goodness, His mercy. I want to ask for prayer. Would there be someone else? While we wait a moment. Our Father, You know my limitations. You know, Lord, that I do not have special power to draw people to Thee. But oh, we know the Holy Spirit. And we trust Him to do His work in us today. Lord, if Thou wouldst be pleased to visit with us and speak to us. Oh, Lord, if Thou wouldst be pleased to reveal other kind traits to us. We ask that Thou wouldst help us as we wait before Thee for these who have asked for prayer and others who did not. We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst work in us both to will and to do of Thine own good pleasure. We ask these favors in the name of the powerful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.